The number one answer of people that stopped going to church was, I didn't see a zeal, a passion, an authenticity, a commitment in the people that were already there.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. This is your host, Joshua Halleck, with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church. We're excited about the series you're listening to tonight. It's called Red Hot Faith, and how God's desire is for you to be hot for God. And Pastor Mark, you're going to talk tonight about what it looks like to be in an atmosphere in a community of people who are hot for God. How does that work?
That's right, Joshua. You know, a poll was done recently with Gallup poll, and trying to figure out why people leave church and what would bring them back to church. And the number one answer was, we would like to see greater passion and zeal in the people that are there. And I thought, wow, what a great answer. It's not about, hey, they ask for too much money or they're too strict. People want to see people that are there believing it, zealous, passionate about it. And I think that's an indictment on the church. So that's huge. Passionate spirituality in the people that are there.
And being in an environment like that, it catches, doesn't it?
It really does. And so today we're going to talk about the five marks of spiritually contagious people. And I believe in the book of Acts, the early believers put into practice a few habits that I think are vital to maintaining our spiritual passion. And so I'm excited to get into this passage and teach it.
Well, friends, turn with us if you're sitting in your living room to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you're driving or if you're listening on the road somewhere or working out, we're going to get into this book together. And this title is Contagious People.
George Gallup, who's a pollster, did a survey of about 13,000 people in 130 nations. It was their biggest survey they had ever done as a company. More or less a worldwide survey, 130 countries. And in this survey, they were surveying people who used to go to church but no longer do. And there were a number of questions in this survey, but one of the questions that was asked was this: what would need to happen for you to return to church? What would need to happen for you to return to church? Now, there's a lot of answers that could have been given. I could try to guess at some of them. And if that pastor just cut his service down into half and it was shorter, you know, I thought maybe people thinking, hey, if the messages weren't so convicting and weren't stepping on people's toes so much, maybe I would return. They didn't take up an offering and I didn't have to give, maybe I'd be more inclined to go back. But none of those were answers. The number one answer for people that said, what would it take for you to return to church? The number one answer was passion in the lives of the members and leaders. The number one answer of people that stopped going to church was, I didn't see a zeal, a passion, an authenticity, a commitment in the people that were already there. Wow. Is that an amazing answer or what? That people that have left church said, I would go back if there was fire, if there was zeal, if there was commitment. If I saw people authentically wanting to follow God with all of their heart, it would attract me to go back. But I'm not going to go just sit in a service and do some religious thing where people aren't really committed and really trying to live it out with all of their heart. I believe that all of us desire authenticity. I believe that like moths are attracted to light, so we are attracted to the light of God. Have you ever seen on a summer day when there's maybe your porch light is on and you look at your porch light and it's just buzzing with little bugs that are flying around it, and gnats and all kinds of critters are attracted to the light. It's the light and the heat that attracts them. I believe the same is in the spiritual world, where there is fire of God, authentic passion, where the light of God is there, where people are zealously living out a life, not a perfect life, because none of us are perfect, but where there is fire of God, people are attracted to the authentic fire of God, to individuals that are zealously and passionately living for God with all of their heart. I believe that what attracts people to the people of God and the things of God is the light and the passion that exists within their soul. And the reason that our churches across this country are primarily empty, each year thousands of churches close their doors in America. Thank God that each year thousands of churches are planted. But if you would go to visit churches, especially in August, around the city of Chicago, you would discover that the majority of the auditoriums in the city of Chicago have very few people in those auditoriums. We ourselves at New Life have had to do several restarts of churches that were about to die and have come and have said, "Well, come and help us out." And they've merged or donated their buildings and we've restarted them. Some of them were very nice buildings with stained glass windows and steeples, much nicer than this building in terms of what a church, what we have the traditional idea of what a church is supposed to look like. But often times those churches have been empty. And I've oftentimes wondered what happens if there's some zeal, some passion, some faith, some desire to live for God. See, I believe that the church should be constantly attracting people that don't know God, either attracting them or causing them to get mad because they're really living for God. There's something incredible. Everywhere where Jesus went, people were attracted to him or people got mad at him. They were drawn to him because of his message, or they wanted to run away from him because they were convicted about his message. But it seems like no one could remain neutral to Jesus, because the fire that he had, the passion, the zeal that he had was compelling. So I've been thinking about New Life Community Church, our community of faith. And I've been thinking about the fact that God has placed us as a unique time in history, in the city of Chicago, and good things are happening amongst us. But I was thinking of what would it take to take it to the next level. And I'm convinced that it's really not about better staging or equipment. Oh, I want to expand the building, but you know, the building doesn't make the church. It's the people and their zeal and their faith that really causes us to make a difference. So I want to talk to you today about what it means to be a, well, what it means to be a contagious people. What it means to be a contagious people. I think in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, it's the beginning of the church. We have a incredibly crisp picture of a church that had been birthed under the power of God, and not a perfect church because there were a lot of issues in the early church. There was racism, segregation, inequality of money. There was sin and deception and heresy. They had all kinds of issues that they were dealing with. But one thing they did not lack in was zeal and fire for God. And so I want us to take a peek at the early church found in the book of Acts. And I want to talk to you today about five marks of spiritually contagious people. What it means to be spiritually contagious. And I want you to ask yourself, do I have that kind of contagious spirituality that is necessary really to make an impact? And do we, are we maintaining it as a church? And so I'm going to read verses 42 through 47 of Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word, please. I'm reading out of the New International Version. The book of Acts is really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It outlines how the church started, how the movement went on, and what God did after Jesus resurrected and ascended into heaven. It says of the early church in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and a prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Word of the Lord, you may be seated. When I think of this word passion, especially when it comes to spirituality, passion is the difference between enthusiastic action and simply going through the motions. Passion is the fire in your belly that motivates you to extraordinary living. The Bible often uses the word zeal for passion. And there's numerous passages of Scripture that talk about the zeal that we are to possess and have. The Greek word is zealous, and it means fervent, a fervent devotion to a cause. It's closely related to the word fire and enthusiasm and earnestness. So, the five marks of spiritual contagious people, if you're taking notes in the back of your bulletin, you can jot these down. These are really, really important because I think every believer in this auditorium has a personal responsibility to keep your heart passionate for God. It's not your pastor's job, your wife's job, your small group leader's job, Christian radio's job. It's not the job of the latest book you're reading. You are responsible for the fire in your heart. In fact, why don't we say this all together? I am responsible for the fire in my heart. Say that with me. I am responsible for the fire in my heart. So, I'm going to give you five habits or five characteristics or marks of those that are contagious people. Number one, they practice habits that fan the flame of passionate spirituality. Notice what it says in verse 42. First of all, I want you to notice what it says in verse 40. Right before that, it says, with many words, they warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Look at what verse 41 says. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. Talk about church growth. And one day, 3,000 people were added to the church. Why? The fire and the zeal of God was attracting people to this new movement that they saw an authenticity in.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk Radio message called Contagious People, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Red Hot Faith. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And Pastor Mark's message is called Contagious People.
And then it says, and this is what these new believers did. This is what the church did. This is what these people of faith did. They practice habits that fan the flame of their passionate spirituality. And it lists for us the four practices that they were in the habit of doing. It says they devoted themselves. To devote yourself is not just to do it casually. It means that you're super committed to it, consistent. You're passionate about it. You're engaged in it with a purpose. So they were super committed to four habits. Number one, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, at the time that this was written, people did not have what you and I have. We have Bibles. You have multiple versions of the Bible. You have big letter edition, small letter edition, miniature edition. You have it on your iPhone with iBible, and you have it on your iPad, and you have it on your computer, and you have it on the radio, and we have it with the cool cover and the traditional cover, and we have it in red, and we have it in white, and we have it in black, and we have it in modern translation, and we have the King James translation, and we have the paraphrase version, and we have the leadership version, and we have the Holy Spirit version. We got everything when it comes to Bibles. But really, how devoted are we to study it? If you are here today and you don't have a Bible at your house, I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to raise your hand, but I run into people that don't. If you don't have a Bible at your house, I'm saying no one in the family has a Bible at their house. I want you to go to the resource center, and just for today, one time offer only, just for today, I will give you a Bible. Because I don't want anybody in this place not to have a Bible. Seriously. I just hear our resource center scrambling right now to try to check out how many Bibles they have. I mean, there is no excuse for anybody at all not to have a Bible in our generation. Seriously, I'll give it to you. They're $5. It's on us. A Bible. I want you to have a Bible in your house. These believers did not have, of course, it was before the Gutenberg press, and so there was no printing press in those days. So anybody that had an Old Testament manuscript, it was hand copied by people that were called scribes. These were very difficult to get a hold of. Individuals did not own their private scrolls of the Old Testament. It was only in the synagogues that you could have a scroll of the Old Testament. So people were devoted to the apostles' teaching by verbally talking about what they had heard the apostles teach. And you say, what's the apostles teaching? Well, the apostles were the men that hung out with Jesus day in and day out. And when Jesus left, he left him in charge, basically, of leading his church. There were 12 apostles, and they were intimately acquainted with the teachings of Jesus. So these believers, thousands of believers, they were listening to the apostles, repeating their teaching, studying it. There was nothing that they could read, but they were talking about it, rehearsing it, and they were devoted to it. Let me tell you something. You cannot keep your heart on fire for God without being devoted to Scripture. You say, well, Pastor, I listen to Oprah, and she really helps me out. Well, I'm glad you listen to Oprah. But she's not going to keep your spirituality red hot. Well, I read Chicken Soup for the Soul, too. And Reader's Digest. I'm glad you read those nice stories. But that's not going to keep you on fire and hot for God. Well, I listen to Christian radio. I'm glad you do, and you can get the word through that. But let me tell you, there's no substitute for the word. You say, well, Pastor, I come on Sunday and I hear the word, you preach it, and that really helps me out. That's like saying I'm going to eat once a week. Oh, it's a big meal though, Pastor. I mean, I get full. Okay, I'm going to challenge you to eat as many times as you get into the Word this week, and let's just see how hungry you are. Seriously. The way your body needs food, you need the Word of God. It needs to be into your soul. I was just talking to a brother this week that said he was always intimidated. Jack, I was talking to Jack. Jack Rogers, wave at me, Jack. He said, you know, I was always intimidated by reading the Bible. I just didn't know where to start and to go. And he told me, I've read through all the Gospels so far, right? All the Gospels, decided finally in life, I'm going to get into the Bible and read it. And I can guarantee without getting into it that your soul is growing more than ever before because you're into the Word. That's the way it works. We need to be into the Word. I try to get into the Word every day. And I've read the Bible. Someone say, well, I've already read through the Bible. So have I. I've read through the Bible multiple times. But it's not just like I read it once. This is a living word that inspires. It teaches us. It convicts us by the Holy Spirit. You need to be carving out regular times to get in the Word. And you say, I'm super busy. Make time for the Word. I like to do audio Bible. There's a lot of versions of the Bible. If you commute and drive, put in an audio Bible and listen to the Bible. Get some time where you're hearing the word ministered to your soul. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. In other words, this was something that they needed to keep their fire alive. The Holy Spirit. The Bible is not just like any book, not just a book of wisdom. We believe that it's an inerrant, inspired, infallible word of God. It was written by quite a few authors, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, guarded by the divine power of God, so that you and I, as we read the word, could not get portions of the word, so that we could get the divinely inspired word of God that changes us and transforms us like no other book can do, because it's a living word. Secondly, they were devoted to fellowship. They were in the habit of the word. They were in the habit of fellowship. Fellowship, the word here is koinonia. You may have heard that word before. Koinonia is the idea of association, communion, fellowship, participation. Not only were they devoted to the teachings of the apostles, but they were also devoted to the relationships with other believers. They were in each other's lives, connected to each other's lives. Let me tell you something about growth and the way the church is supposed to function. Christianity was never meant to be lived as your personal relationship with God isolated from other people. That's not biblical Christianity. Healthy Christianity is always lived in the context of communion with other people. We call it the body, we call it fellowship. Fellowship means that I get involved in other people's lives and they get involved in my life, and they know my name and I know their name, and we can speak into each other's lives, and we can have fun together and laugh together and study together and pray for each other and encourage each other and celebrate a birthday party together, rebuke each other, correct each other, encourage each other, do life together. Christianity was meant to be lived that way. And if all you're doing is listening to Christian teaching, but you're not connecting to relationship, I can guarantee you that the zeal of your heart will not last long, because you were meant to exist in relationship. Listen, I'm glad you're here on Sunday morning in our larger auditorium, but if all you do is come on Sunday and just hear a teaching and walk out of here, but you don't have a connection with other people and you don't seek to go beyond that, then I can guarantee you that your spiritual life is not going to, it's not going to ebb high. It's going to stay at a low ebb. They were devoted to fellowship. I grow best when I'm sharpening in relationships that are sharpening me with other people that are around me. That's how I grow best. They were devoted. They didn't just do fellowship. They were devoted to fellowship, highly committed to fellowship. Number three, not only the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread. Some of you are saying, finally, Pastor, you got one that I like. They were devoted to eating. Great, I like that one. Well, breaking of bread isn't particularly eating. It's a way of saying they were devoted to worship or communion, because the breaking of bread refers to having communion together. They said, we are breaking bread. That's how they worship, the centrality of the cross. We do communion, the breaking of the bread, the grape juice together, we partake of that. It's a way of saying, I'm worshiping God for what he did in Jesus Christ. And they were devoted to worshiping God. So they were devoted to teaching. They were devoted to one another in fellowship. They were devoted to worship, finding time to celebrate and worship what Jesus had done. And then number four, they were devoted to prayer. And we see from other contexts that they were devoted to prayer and fasting. You want to crank up your spiritual temperature, start making these four habits a regular part of your week. Studying the word, fellowshipping with a group of people that really knows you and gets connected in your life. Taking time to worship, really worship, publicly and privately. And then taking time to really engage in prayer. You want to crank up the spiritual temperature of your life? Then those are four habits that are non-negotiable for maintaining the fire within your heart strong. And he said they were devoted to these things. You know, sometimes our life, well, let me just give you a little illustration story. My 14-year-old son was riding his bike a little while back, and he hit a hole, a construction hole. And so he said, "Dad, I have a flat tire. Can you just go buy me a new tire?" I said, "Buy you a new tire? No way. When I was a kid, we fixed our bikes. I'm going to teach you how to fix a flat, not buy a new tire."
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called Contagious People, which is from our series called Red Hot Faith. Join us on the next Straight Talk as we finish the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page, where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.